You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Tell you, I love Quick Trip, but I'm a little disappointed today, Maestro. A little disappointed.
Why is that?
Yeah, I went to Quick Trip to get some coffee, and I thought I would be good. So I got the decaf.
Okay, what's wrong with that?
Because I'm just trying to cut out a little bit of that caffeine I've been consuming every day. So I got the decaf QT coffee, and it's kind of watery.
Really?
Yeah, I usually get the original. I love the original. It's just right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking decaf original. That should be right. Wow. A little bit on the watery side. So, you know, it's not quite, you know, I may not have the same pep in the show today that I normally have.
They had to take the decaf, they had to take the caffeine out, and they put the water in.
That's right. Well, it just goes to show you it does not pay to be a good boy. You know, I should have gone for the high-octane caffeine stuff, and then I would have been just...
Right, you're a little hyper, so I'm glad you got that.
Well that remains to be seen. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And at Career Callings, our mission is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E. At careercallings.net. Also, you can always download a copy of the broadcast after we air via careercallings.net/radio, where we host all of our shows in archive format. Also can be heard on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. So any of those apps that you may have, you're welcome to search for Career Callings, and you'll be able to get a copy of the broadcast, latest broadcast, and the previous ones as well through those options there. Maestro, have you ever served in the military?
No.
You have not?
No.
Well, neither have I, but I have the highest respect, as I'm sure you do,
yes,
for folks that have served in the military. So it was my privilege to be able to speak not long ago with a young man who is who's no longer in the military, but had served for about half a dozen years or so. And during our conversation, he was expressing some concerns, or not some concerns per se, but some troubles he's been having trying to properly transition from military world to civilian world. And in particular, we were talking about just the challenges of shifting gears in a career setting from the military environment to a civilian environment. And he was having some troubles with articulating how he could bring what he learned in the military to civilian opportunities that he was trying to explore from a career standpoint. So I'm gonna call this young man his name Peter. His actual name was not Peter, but I'll call him Peter just for sake of confidentiality. And when I was talking with Peter, and as he was expressing those concerns, what I tried to help him see is that you need to be able to actually translate for people in the civilian world by helping them understand how the military built him up as a human being with transferable skills that can be transferred from his military time to a civilian context. And what I mean by that is this. Employers certainly do, no doubt, value technical skills, any technical skills that you can bring with you from previous work experiences. But what he was struggling with is many of the technical skills he learned in the military world obviously don't transfer all that well into a civilian environment. That was the big trouble. And unfortunately, a lot of people suffer from that same mindset. I certainly have in my past as well, where you think the technical skills that you develop in your past are your ticket to your next job. Certainly, your technical skills can have an influence in obtaining your next job, but over time, I've reviewed tons of articles here on the show. indicating that hiring managers only factor in technical skills that you bring with you as a smaller portion of the overall package they're looking for in a new employee. The most important thing they're looking for are what are often referred to as soft skills, people skills. And the reason why they're looking for that is because it's really hard to mold the core of a person into what you want them to be. They usually are going to, once you reach a certain age, you're pretty much kind of what you're going to be. And it's a whole lot easier to add to your technical skills than it is to add to your people skills, your soft skills. So what I was telling Peter was whenever you're getting ready to try to make that transition to the next job, what you need to do is not spend so much attention on your technical skills, but do this first. I told him first, what you need to do is research who you are as a person in terms of how did God design you to do, what kinds of work did God design you to do. For example, I told him about the Career Direct assessment that we offer at Career Callings as a partner with Crown Ministries, and I explained to him that assessment will help you to understand what pattern of work God designed you with, what your personality, what kind of jobs your personality kind of points you towards, what kind of jobs your skill set, your abilities, your passions, and your values will point you in the direction of. I told him first he needs to get a good understanding of the pattern of work God created him with. Secondly, then he needs to research jobs that match up with that pattern of work God designed him with. Third, he needs to narrow down the field of possible job opportunities to a few companies he thinks he'd like to work for based off research that he can do about those companies on the internet and through various and sundry sources, particularly internet related. Then he needs to educate himself on what those companies do and then think about how he can help them be better at what they do. And some of that, yeah, might include his technical acumen that he brings with him, but more importantly, it'll be what he brings to the table in those soft skill areas. And to illustrate this, to kind of really point out what I'm talking about, Maestro, just to kind of quiz you here on the air real quick, if you were to just try to list a short list of things that the military teaches people outside of the technical aspects of firing a firearm or doing whatever, what does it do to shape a person?
Well, obviously, gives them a lot of character. Mm-hmm. I mean, they learn how to follow orders, that's for sure. How to carry those orders out, mm-hmm. how to plan, how to work on time, how to get somewhere on time, how to be there on time, mm-hmm. how to do what the commanding officer wants you to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that what you're
looking for? That's all good. No, that's most of what I had in my list. And I fairness to you, I put you on the spot.
Yes, you did.
I had some time to prepare my list. But but no, respect for authority was one of the things I wrote down. You mentioned that. Being a team player, definitely one of the things that you mentioned there. Self-motivation, dedication to seeing a goal reached, an ability to persevere. You know, you learn a lot about perseverance in the military, learning how to gut it out in the face of adversity. Also willing to make sure that the customer is served. What do I mean by that? Now, when you think about the military, what do people in the military learn that their main mission is? Their main mission is to serve and protect us people who don't have that kind of training or that kind of skill. They're protecting us. Well, what Peter needs to be able to do, what I told him he needed to do, is show any potential employer how his military training has molded him into the sort of man that desires to serve the customer and also to protect the reputation of the company he's working for. And that would help the company to ensure its growth and survival. So if Peter properly communicates how his military background uniquely enables him to help the company achieve its goals and serve its customers, he'll get the job whenever he interviews for whatever job he wants to interview for. And it's all about understanding that you need to show your employer that you have the character and the people skills to help them, number one, to fit into their work, to fit into their team, I should say, to fit into their culture, and then from there to help them achieve what it is they want to achieve. And that you also have the dedication to fill in the gaps of your technical knowledge with diligent study and training. And that's what I tried to help him understand, and that goes for any of us. You know, right now, if I were to get out of the field of work I'm in and wanted to get into something totally different, there's a whole list of transferable skills that I've learned over the past, 20, 25 years being in the workplace that would transfer into any number of industries. Maestro, the same is true for you. The same is true for most of us. And so that's what we need to do. Now, to begin the process of trying to figure out the pattern of work that God has designed you with, of course, I've already mentioned the career direct assessment we offer at Career Callings. But if you'd kind of like to sample it for free and not go ahead first and pay for the service, but you want to just sample it for free, Crown Ministries offers the personality portion of the Career Direct Assessment for free. So you can go to careerdirectonline.org/personality ID. And I know I said that quickly. I promise you I will link to that free personality ID at careercallings.net/radio. But again, the direct link in case you want it, careerdirectonline.org/personality ID. And you can go there and take that personality section of the Career Direct Assessment for free and see the power of the reporting that comes from that. Now, I want to introduce a topic that we'll have to finish up on the other side of the break. And what I'd like to do, Maestro, is play a little clip that actually aired back in June of 2012. And this is a clip from CBS Sunday Mornings show, June 10th, 2012. And after the reporters and moderators introduce the story, I will finish up with a few extra thoughts. And this is about a lady named Peggy Harris and her late husband, Billy Harris. Maestro, if you would.
This past Wednesday marked the 68th anniversary of D-Day, the Allied landing on the beaches of Normandy that author Cornelius Ryan termed the longest day. Steve Hartman has the story of an American airman who lost his life there a few weeks later, leaving a widow back home to endure the longest wait.
Peggy Harris of Vernon, Texas, never got a knock at the door, never got a telegram, never got anything definitive explaining what happened to her husband Billy during World War II. And so, in the absence of answers, she has remained dutiful to this day.
Billy was married to me all of his life, and I choose to be married to him all of my life.
Peggy and Billy got married just 6 weeks before he got shipped off to war. A fighter pilot, his last mission was July 17, 1944, over Nazi-occupied northern France. Billy never returned from that mission.
At first, he was reported as missing. Then he was reported as alive and coming home. Then Peggy got a letter saying he'd actually been killed and was buried in one cemetery. Then another letter saying he was buried in a different cemetery. Then she was told maybe those aren't his remains at all. For Peggy, it was very frustrating.
And so I waited longer.
Months turned to years.
And still no answer.
Turned to decades.
So I wrote to my congressman.
Wrote repeatedly, asking for any information about the fate of her husband. The last letter, in 2005, was directed to Representative Mac Thornberry of Texas, who also happens to be vice chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. In his reply, Thornberry said Billy was still listed as missing in action in the National Archives.
What in the world does that have to do with a show about career callings? Well, that was a teaser audio, Maestro, so that in case you got lost at the break, you'd have a reason to come back and hear the rest of the story, as the late Paul Harvey would say. See you in just a few.
Hi, I'm Ed Stetzer.
Hi, I'm John Stonestreet.
And we are Breakpoint this week. We're going to have conversations about culture and about context and about mission.
It's your weekly briefing on what's going on in the world and how to understand it from a Christian worldview in light of the mission of Jesus Christ.
Ed Stetzer joins John Stonestreet. It's an all-new Breakpoint This Week with John, Ed, and guests every weekend right here.
Sunday afternoon at 1:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
All right, I'm here with Kurt Restine with DCS Associates. And Kurt, just want to ask you, how do you see Teach Me Morpheus benefiting your business?
Before tax season starts, I get many of the same questions every single year from my clients. Morpheus is going to really help out in the aspect of a better client experience, being able to get their questions answered quickly. The other thing that's appealing about Morpheus is that I will be paid once those clients purchase that video. So that gives incentive to answer more questions and get good feedback from my clients as to what they want to learn about.
Help your customers. Make money for your organization. That's what TeachMeMorpheus.com, a new online learning platform, can do for your business or nonprofit. To learn more, check out TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
Christian Talk 660, around the upstate and around the world. Pass it on. It's life-changing Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart-connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back to another segment of Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser. You can join us today by phone, text, or email at 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's robbie@careercallings.net. And we're glad you could join us today so we can help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. Now, before we took off for the break, we played an audio from a television segment that aired in June of 2012 on the CBS Sunday Morning Show, and it highlighted the story of Peggy Harris and her late husband, Billy. Now, in World War II, just to set that that story back up, in World War II, about just a few weeks before Billy's passing, Billy and Peggy married, and then Billy went off to war, and then he died in World War II. Now, for 60 years almost, she didn't know whether or not for sure he had died, because one day she got a message that he was missing in action, another day that he was found, another day that he was lost. So there's all kinds of confusion. But for the next 60 years, Peggy just decided to wait on her husband. She decided that since Billy was married to her all of his life, that she would choose to remain married to him all of her life. Well, nearly 60 years after D-Day in Normandy, she finally found out the truth, thanks to the research efforts of one of Billy's cousins. Billy had indeed been killed in action. He was buried in the world's most famous cemetery, the American Cemetery in Normandy, France. But more than finding out that Billy had indeed been killed in action, Peggy discovered that her husband had died as a hero. Thanks to her cousin's research, Peggy learned that the main road of the little Normandy town of Les Ventes bears the name of her late husband. Three times per year, the people of Les Ventes march down this road in memory of Billy's sacrifice, as well as in memory of the sacrifices of many others during World War II. According to eyewitness accounts, Billy was able to maintain control of his plummeting plane long enough to avoid the town, crashing instead in a patch of woods nearby, and thus saving the lives of many, many townspeople. At first, the townspeople buried Billy in the town cemetery, decorating his grave often with flowers. But later, after Billy's remains were moved to the American Cemetery at Normandy, the people of Les Ventes continued to place flowers on his grave. Now, Peggy Harris makes an annual pilgrimage to Les Ventes to tour the woods where her husband died and to fellowship with the survivors and the descendants of the survivors of that fateful day. Stories of sacrifice like those of Billy and Peggy Harris touch us deeply, and well, they should. Examples of sacrifice and dedication like theirs have at their core the purest form of love. And love of this ilk is the most attractive and precious commodity in the universe. It's the kind of love on a much, much grander scale that Christ exemplified during his sacrifice on the cross. And it is this kind of love that we owe back to him in thanks. Now, if Christ was willing to sacrifice his royal robes, his comforts in heaven, his reputation, his fellowship with the Father, and his body to the torments of persecution, ought we not be willing to sacrifice our earthly desires for his heavenly ones? Ought we not lay our daily work at his feet, putting aside any work that gets in the way of the work he has shown us that he wants us to do? And if we don't yet know what work he does want us to do, isn't it time, out of love for him, that we figure it out? Our response to these questions tells us clearly what kind of love we really have for Christ. Do we have the greatest form of love for him that he showed for us, or do we have some mere shadow of it? And that's why I wanted to talk about the story of Peggy and Billy Harris, because Peggy exemplified the best kind of human love possible, dedicating her life to her husband, not knowing for sure whether or not he was still alive. Well, Christ shared a tremendous love for us by dying on the cross, and we ought to just lay down whatever our workplace or whatever our work is at his feet. You know, a lot of times, most of the time, we make decisions about where we're going to go to work based on how much money it's going to make us, with little or no consideration about whether or not that's the mission field God wants us to work in. Now, when I say mission field, I'm not by any means, shape, form, or fashion stating or advocating that everybody's supposed to be a minister or a missionary somewhere, but no matter where you work, in the secular world or not, you are in a mission field if you're a Christian. The people around you are there for you to serve to God's glory and for their betterment as you give them the gospel verbally and also as you give them the gospel through your actions. And God might be tugging at your heart right now to be working somewhere else as his calling for you. And if he is, I got one question for you. Do you love him enough to listen to what he's telling you to do? Now, that's pretty heavy, Maestro. And so with that, in response to that, I think I'd like to have another little bitty routine from our good friend, Tim Hawkins.
If you're a believer in Jesus, man, death should be a party. Death, where is that sting? I ain't afraid of death. Bring it. Not right now, but, you know. That's right, man. You're going to want to come to my funeral. I'm going to put the fun in funeral. It's going to be hard to be sad. I got a big bowl of candy on my chest. That is going to help some people, man. People walking by my casket. I can't believe you're gone. I can't believe. Smarties. Oh, my God. I love Smarties. Somebody takes two pieces. I grab their arm. Come on. Come to my funeral, man. There's going to be dancing, man. I'm going to have music and a DJ. Just throw your hands in the air and wave them like it ain't in there. Oh, come to my funeral, man. It's going to be great. There's going to be a mosh pit, man. And don't just let me lay there. Get me involved. Pick me up. Let me crowd surf. You're like, man, you go to Hawkins' funeral? Yeah, it was awesome!
Oh, I wanted to play that to introduce the next concept. I'm sure, Maestro, you've heard, like I've heard over the years, this question. What do you want people to remember about you when you die? And that's a great clarifying question to ask people when you're talking to them about their, you know, all aspects of their life, but including their careers. What do you want to be remembered for that you did for the Lord with your career? Well, what a lot of people don't realize is we need to be looking beyond death when it comes to that question. We need to be looking at eternity when we get to that question. And the reason I say that is some time ago I was reading the Bible and I ran across this verse when I was reading it doing a devotion, Isaiah 65:17. And in the Amplified Bible version of Isaiah 65:17, it reads this way: "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind." Now, I was intrigued by that for some reason that day when I was reading it. I was intrigued about it enough to do a little bit of research. And I studied the meaning of those words behind Isaiah 65:17, and I realized that there were many companion verses like that throughout the Bible, 2 Peter 3:10, Revelation 21:1, Matthew 24:35. I'll link to all that at careercallings.net/radio. But those verses basically make it pretty clear that in the long haul of eternity, the things we do that are tied to the world system are meaningless. How much money we make, how popular we are, how many awards we rack up for our trophy cases are the types of things that, in eternity, will not be remembered or even come into mind with any great level of respect or importance. Now, the question, of course, is, what's my proof of that? Am I reading into Isaiah 65:17 something that's not there? And the answer is no, which is why I want to share with you what I discovered when I studied the Hebrew words behind Isaiah 65:17. In the Hebrew, the word remembered is the word zakar, which means recognized, mentioned, and recounted, or it also means recorded. The word come, pronounced Allah, not the Islamic Allah, but this is, I guess, how you pronounce it, Allah, means to ascend or be high. And the word mind, which is the word leb, means the heart or intellect. And here's the implication behind all that. Although the things we do on earth will be in our memory banks, and although they will certainly be the topic or a topic of conversation when Christ judges us for our loyalty to him on earth, nothing we do in pursuit of our earthly goals will be worth mentioning after the judgment, because we will no longer ascribe any importance or highness to them in our hearts and minds. They will be that wood, hay, and stubble that God mentions in 1 Corinthians 3:12-15, and they'll be just as much wood, hay, and stubble to us as they are to Christ. And as a result, we will be happy to keep silent about them forevermore. So if we want our earthly actions to mean something, then we need to tie them to eternal objectives, not to earthly ones. Anything else in God's eyes is truly a waste of time. And the sooner we understand this, the sooner we'll start doing the things that mean something in the end, that mean something in eternity. And so I encourage you to study Isaiah 65:17 for yourself and understand that things just won't be highly mentioned in our mind that have earthly ties once we get past the judgment. We will only be focused on those things we did for God that had eternal value. Interesting little story as we wind down this segment of the Career Callings show. In Texas, healthcare workers quit jobs to work at McDonald's. You heard this story, Maestro? I hadn't heard that story?
No.
Here's just quoting from hotair.com. This is an article written by a guy named Jazz Shaw. And just quoting directly from the article. Here's an unusual story out of Texas, which seems to defy all the conventional wisdom about employment trends and wages. The local press has noticed that nursing homes are having trouble filling the healthcare jobs at their facilities these days. That's particularly curious when you consider that healthcare has consistently been one of the fastest growing job markets in the country for several years now. So where are all the trained healthcare workers going? They're going to find jobs flipping burgers. And what this article is basically pointing out is that in that particular area, you can get a starting salary job at McDonald's for like $13 to $15 an hour. Now, this particular area does not have a minimum wage at that level, but the worker shortage is so small or so large that they're having to entice people to those jobs, and those people are earning more than the nursing home workers who are having to struggle and strive with all of that. So they're flocking to the easier job. Which just goes to show you, if there's a need for a shift in the workplace, you don't need a minimum wage law to make it happen. The market will do it for yourself. Come back for next time for another edition of Career Callings, and enjoy a copy of this show at careercallings.net/radio. God bless.